And I'm just so thankful this morning. We just had such a celebration. I hope that in your spirit you can, are you learning how to celebrate? Is the worship helping you get into a place of celebration? You know, we were just worshiping, and you just feel the atmosphere, and you feel what we're doing, and we're celebrating something that happened so long ago, and yet when you taste and see in a moment of real time that it's still happening almost. It's like it happened, but it can still happen in you the moment you believe it. And something just comes alive in you, and it's so powerful. You think about what you celebrate. We celebrate stuff that happened. We celebrate when you get the diploma, right? We celebrate when, you know, you get married and you go, and then you have the celebration. The birthday comes, and then you celebrate, right? Things happen, and you celebrate. We celebrate stuff that already happened. And when we're celebrating Jesus, we're celebrating a person who came to earth and who caused something to happen on planet earth that changed time, split the calendar up, and we're celebrating something that was finished. It's been done. So many times people come to church thinking it's about them and looking for what they can get. I'm sorry, it's not what it's about. It's about realizing that he's already done. When he hung on the cross and said, "It is finished," and he cried out, "It's finished." He did everything he needs to do. Now it's our job to come in, receive from him, and give away everything that he's got for us. It's called a worship service on Sunday mornings. A worship service. You know what that means? A service is when you serve, right? You go into the armed forces. That's called the service. You go in to serve with your life. Service, the service industry, is when you go and you do something with your skills that serves somebody else. It's a worship service every Sunday. And I thank God because there's a growing team of volunteers. There's a growing team of people that are excited about children's ministry, are excited about the building project that's in front of us, excited about the growth that's happening. Even though, yeah, it's a little uncomfortable. We don't have enough space sometimes. But I'm telling you, it's the natural course of obeying God, that growth should happen. If growth's not happening, then something's wrong, right? When a child stops growing, we know something's wrong. We take them to the doctor. Their appetite wanes, right? All these things. And so this morning, I just want to look at a few of the things I think we get sidetracked on that keep us from maintaining a healthy appetite for the things of the Lord. That keep us from being hungry for the stuff that God has for us. You're all hungry for something. Every single person, if you're still alive and breathing, you're hungry for something. And usually we have appetites that come easily to us in a direction that causes us, you know, maybe to be addicted to things, to overdo it in certain areas. But what if our appetite for the Lord was as strong as it is for some of the stuff of this world? In worship, I feel such an appetite for whatever it is that he has next. I can't even explain it. I'm sorry, Jack. You were just the first person that I laid eyes on and said, "We got to get you up here." I get too overwhelmed. I don't even know what's going on. Because what we've tasted of the Lord and what we've seen him to be good, we can proclaim it from the mountaintops, but there's still so much more. We're scratching the surface. Jesus said, "Greater things than these will the believers in me go out and do." We're going to love people that have hurt us so badly in ways that no one in this world is going to understand. How can you forgive and how can you love given that situation? And we're going to do it. We're doing it already. We're going to see unlovable people experience God's love, receive his love, and then turn around and go and give it away. While sometimes people that maybe have been saved for 10 or 20 years are going to be like, "Why are they so excited? I've been in this for 20 years and I'm not doing anything for me like that." Because at one point you received, but you didn't give it away. And we're going to look to the scripture this morning because I want us to just realize that everything that we're taking on that's in front of us, this building plan, the growth, the adding of another service. And we had a lot of people at the first service this morning at 9. And as that service gains 15 minutes the first weekend in June, I think we're going to see even more people go into that as well. Telling you, whatever we have to do, I don't care. Whatever the obstacle is, we've proven that we can get over it. We were too full at this service, so we added another service, and now that one's filling up. It's almost full. So, I mean, whatever we have to do, just join me in this place of godly vision where I'm looking for the next obstacle already. I don't care what it is, but I'm already looking at it like, yeah, what is it now? What is going to get in our way now? Because there's this momentum that we have when we get out of ourselves and get into the spirit realm, when we get into the word and we realize God has a plan for us to be on planet earth right now. It's not an accident that you were here. Everything they taught you in grade school about where you came from and what it was about if you went to a public school, trust me, it's all a bunch of rubbish. You were created with a purpose and a plan, and your DNA inside you, it wants to fulfill the plan of God, but we allow human appetites and natural appetites to distract us from what we're supposed to be fed with. We're supposed to be fed with the Word of God, and that's why we're going to read some of it right now. Maybe a little more than we usually do, I don't know, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to begin to read about something Peter, who remember, he was the one that first got the revelation of who Jesus was. Jesus told to Peter's ears, "On this rock I will build my church." On the revelation, Peter saw Jesus, "You're the Messiah, you're the Son of God. You're the one. You're the one that we've been waiting for. You're the Messiah. You're the promised deliverance of Israel. You're standing in front of me. And Jesus said, whoa, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Your Father in heaven revealed to you who I truly am. And from that moment on, there's been something that was in seed form on planet Earth called the church. Jesus said, on that revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to stop us. The gates of whatever obstruction we're going to face are nothing compared to the force of faith that lives in the hearts of people who believe and call on Messiah as Lord and Savior. But it starts as a seed. It starts in seed form. And so let's just read this in 1 Peter chapter 1. I probably read this scripture at least once a month because it's the one that helps me get my head around so much that goes on in my Christian walk. We get frustrated sometimes. We want the drive-through experience with Christianity. You know, I hit one window and 30 seconds later, I'm at the second window giving my cash and taking my food. And you got a whole meal on your lap and then you're good to go. And you don't have to think about it. You're just eating while you're driving or whatever you're doing. You shouldn't do that, but people, we're just so busy. We pack so much into such a short amount of time, right? It's hard preaching. Preaching's hard because you realize you're about to say stuff and you're like, wait, do you do that? Well, okay. You know? Sometimes I'm that guy at the light that you're behind honking because he's looking down. Because, you know, you can't text and drive, but you can park and text, right? So if there's a red light in front of you, at least you're being safe. You're not going to hurt anybody. You're laughing because you do it. You know you do it. Some of you do, and then the ones that aren't laughing, you're like, oh, I can't believe people still do that. But we're human. We have these issues in our hearts. But we're so busy, we can get so distracted with trying to keep up with everything that we miss the big picture. We miss the fact that we have had something happen inside of us that has, if it can split a calendar, if it can bring a dead person from a tomb, that power now lives inside of us by the Holy Spirit. If that's what happens inside of us and that's still there, He's still in us, what's our potential? What's the capacity that we have to forgive? What's the capacity that we have to love? And to show love and to be generous and to build something that we may never see the full benefit of. But our kids are going to see it. Their kids are going to see it. I was up on the property yesterday. It's 70 acres and they resurveyed it. So it actually went beyond where I thought it, where I was told that it went to. And there's a part that's so high up. When you get up to it, you just realize, I mean, it's not big enough for a building, but you just realize, man, this is going to be the most amazing prayer tower that Kingston has ever even seen. I mean, it's so high up and it's looking down over the whole thing. And so there's trees in the way right now. Whatever. You know, it's like, all I got to do is see a crack, and you got to move just right. Like, oh, that's a farm field over there. So that means beyond that's the mall. That's where the rest of Kingston is. I don't have to see it. I know it's there. Yeah. And sometimes in our spiritual walk, we don't have to see everything. We walk by faith, not by sight. But we just know it's there. We know the place that we're going to is everything Jesus said it would be. Yeah. If He said, don't even get excited about the miracles that you'll work with your hands. Get excited about where you're going. What kind of a place is that? If Jesus says, get excited for that place, your names are written in a place that guarantees that's where you're going when this life's over. Man, if that gets, we're celebrating something that's already happened, but too many Christians are waiting to see if it's going to work out. You don't walk the Christian life to see if it's going to walk out. You walk it step at a time towards that place. And man, when you start to do that, an opportunity comes to praise and to worship and to glorify Him and tell Him how good He is. You just come out of yourself because you can't help it. You know how good He is. Not because your life's going good. Not because your checkbook looks good. Not because your marriage is great or your kids are doing great. But because I'm going to a place that He prepared for me. And you can't take it from me. And the devil can't take it from me. It's my place that He went to prepare for. It's your place that He went to prepare for. And He did it with His own blood. He did it with His own sacrifice. He laid down His life so I can live. Not just now, but forever. If that, Gilly said after worship, said, man, that doesn't move you. I don't know what else is going to move you. Because, man, when you discover that you're truly a spiritual being, first and foremost, the eternal part of you is spiritual. It's not what you see in the mirror. We're so distracted with what we see there. We've been trained from high school or even before now. How we have to look just a certain way so that we can be accepted. God's not looking at any of that. He's looking inside at the heart of a child that says, do you love me? Will you follow me? Do you realize I've birthed you again? What your parents gave you is amazing. But what He's got for us is spiritual and it's far more amazing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born Again, I'll just go back to this. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. I got to laugh because I just got tipped off. There's a new word apparently going around called fellowship. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know he's a culprit, right? Where's Jay? Jay's downstairs probably laughing. Fellowship. These guys are giving us a hard time. Gilly, man, they're picking on us. Bad. Your son is in on this now. Because I guess he let out of the bag. On my front porch at the back house, I got an L-shaped couch, right? So Gilly and I both out there. We worked hard. We laid on the couch together and fell asleep. So now all of a sudden, everybody's teasing us about our fellow. I'm going to Pastor Josh. We've got some fellowship. So now we're sleeping on the couch together. It's an L-shaped couch. His head was down there. I'm at the other end of the couch. Nothing. We're just tired. We worked hard and we went to sleep. So what's the big deal? I don't understand. That's the sincere love, the pure love of the brethren, the sincere love of the brethren. We work together. I mean, come on, it's 2 p.m. Wait. Nobody wants to admit they take a nap. I don't know what it is. Nobody wants to say, I take a nap. I take a nap whenever I can. If my kids are quiet enough and I ate enough for lunch, if I could catch 30 minutes, right? They got to leave us alone, man, because I'm going to blow them up just like I just did. Teasing us because we had some fellowship. Sincere brotherly love. God is so good. Thanks, Dave. He's just good. That's how simple it is. It's good. Listen to why it's good. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again. You know, the world's so corrupted that anytime people hear anything, they always take the innuendos to the farthest, most gutterest place they can possibly take it to. It's built in. You ever see something amazing happen? The negativity is so strong. It just dawned on me in worship. I'm sitting there, we're singing, "You are good," and I'm just shaking my head like, I can't believe how good you are. But think about it for a minute. What's my confession? I can't believe how good you are. Think about it just for a second. It's human nature. Somebody makes an amazing shot and everybody on the bench is like, no, that didn't just happen. Whoa, what was that? No. I can't believe that just happened. Lack of faith and unbelief is built into the core of who we are as humans. When something good happens, our most likely response is going to be like, no, that didn't just happen. No way. And we shake our heads. Whoa, that's crazy. We go negative without even thinking about it. In a moment of celebration, we still respond with a negative thing. I can't believe. You just saw it. You do believe it because you saw it. You're excited about it. So you obviously believe it. You're just saying, I don't believe it. It's just reflexive stuff that just shows that there's an old seed that we had, but this scripture is telling us we've been born again. And let's read it now. Love one another with a pure heart. Not, for you have been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. How? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It's just as powerful now as it was the day Jesus hung on the cross and said, it's finished. When the declaration went out that our sin was finished, our debt was paid, everything was settled in heaven. When that declaration went out, it's just as fresh and as powerful today. The moment someone believes it, their sins are washed away. They're given the righteousness of Jesus Christ as an inheritance, and they will live forever with him. It happens in a moment, but listen how it happens. Having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, the one that you got from your mom and your dad, but an incorruptible seed came through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The incorruptible seed. The incorruptible what? Seed. People are out planting seeds. Debbie had an amazing, Miss Miller, you are amazing. What you did with the kids yesterday, amazing job. Thank you so much for doing that. Amazing. The amount of love and planning and finances and stuff that just flowed through her heart to those kids. But they're out planting seeds. She built special boxes and a whole garden just for the kids to come out and see how does a tomato grow? Where does a pea come from? And to be able to put seeds in the ground in little pots and stuff and even some that they take home. I mean, it's just an amazing thing because she understands. If kids can understand seed, you have a greater level of thankfulness that you have in your heart. It's not just the drive-through window. You realize somebody had to put this in the ground and wait a few weeks just for it to sprout. And then they had to wait a few more months for it to come to maturity and to actually grow to something you can pick and then eat. There's this whole process of life that we're so, maybe it's not just in the West, just as humans in general, where we don't see how much goes into things sometimes. We think the process is just easy. Oh, Lord, please bless me. Give me this and this and that. Well, some of those things you ask for are going to take some time for the circumstances of your life to get you ready and to get it ready for you to receive it. That's how life works, because there's this seed time and harvest that God promised. And in the seed is everything that it's going to be. What's missing? Time. Nothing's missing in the seed, it's complete, but time and necessary environment are the two factors that we have a part in that by our free will. You can abandon your path anytime you want. You can jump off the storyline anytime you want. It's called free will. God can start writing an amazing story in your life. You can be born again. You can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus, you are who you say that you are, and I believe it, I receive it. In that moment, you're born again. You receive this incorruptible seed that Peter's talking about. It comes through the Word of God, and it's yours. It's Jesus in you. It's Christ in you. It's not Christ in me that's your hope of glory. It's not Christ in Kingsfire Church that when you stand before Him on that day, you say, I went to Kingsfire Church. I knew Pastor Josh personally. We slept on the front couch on his porch or whatever it was together. Now, sorry, my head's all over the place. And then it's Christ in you. It's your personal relationship with Him. It's when you're alone in your car and you choose to turn on worship music and worship Him by yourself because you want to be with Him. Amen. Do you understand that? It's because you open your Bible yourself because you want Him to speak to you, not just through me. Yeah. I'm using the same book that you all probably have on a shelf someplace or an app on your phone somewhere. You can all have access to the same scripture I'm reading now. What's different? This stuff has changed my life, and so when I see it, I get so excited, I proclaim it. Yeah. I'm just proclaiming what everybody else can easily with your own eyes and understanding. Yes. Through the Holy Spirit's revelation, grasp all by yourself. This is not a church that's centered around one person. We have an amazing pastoral team, and we're all great people. We love the Lord. We serve with a full heart. We give generously. We live sacrificially. All those things. But you're not going to have a hope of glory because of what we're doing. Amen. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the Scripture says. And when you begin to realize and take ownership and responsibility for that, suddenly something begins to grow in you that's not your own. Amen. It's the incorruptible seed you've been born again with. Seeds are small. They're insignificant. There's seeds on the floor that come in on your shoes. There's stuff all over. You know, you can have a pond with no water. Just fill it with water, no fish, freshly dug, concrete pond, nothing in there. Automatically, within a few months, you're going to have fish and frogs in there. Why? Because the birds come in looking for them. As soon as they touch down, the eggs, the seeds from the ponds that they came from are in that water. They're brought in. All it takes is a seed. You can't see it, but it's in there, and eventually you will see it. Eventually, you're going to see that seed begin to take root. You're going to see transformation begin to happen because every seed reproduces after its kind. If you see an acorn, that acorn looks the same as it did however many thousands or millions of years ago, whichever way you interpret. The point is God created, He spoke, and it existed. That's what matters. However you interpret the rest of it, I don't really care. The fact is nothing exists except for the one that existed before it. His name is God. His name is the Word. His name is the Holy Spirit who hovered over the face of darkness and nothingness and spoke and life came. That seed, the recipe for that seed is still the same as it was back then. God does everything. His greatest creativity, He does it through seed. He doesn't just say, boom, there's Sean right there, ready to teach, celebrate recovery class. There he is. Boom, 30 whatever years old you are, ready to go. Was I safe on that? Okay. Sorry. While I'm distracted, I'll drink. His mom and his dad had an idea. And then Sean came. And before the world could even see Sean, he lived inside. Jesus did the same thing. When God planted Jesus on planet Earth, how did He plant Him? As a seed in Mary's womb. God has time. He's not all anxious and insecure about everything that's going on like we get. We get all stirred up into this frenzy like if it doesn't happen tomorrow, God must not love me anymore. God works on a time frame that's best for us and it's best for the kingdom. We got to understand this by faith. It doesn't matter how it feels in the moment if it's uncomfortable. I'd love to have the property ready next week for us to just go up there and have this service and the first service joined together. We'd have like 400 people plus right off the bat at our first service. It would be incredible. You're amazing. But God's building something else. There's a growth that's happening. There's a spiritual growth that needs to continue to happen so that when we get there, it's not about the building of the property and this amazing stuff that we're going to do there for generations to come. It's about Christ in you, the gospel of Jesus living in you, the hope of glory. So many great moves of God get off course because suddenly it becomes about the movement and not about Christ. This is about Jesus, folks. This town and this community, the churches in this area, we all need to know Jesus and know Him more and more intimately than we ever have before. Time is stinking short. The days go by. It's ridiculous. The days don't even happen. It's like it's time to eat dinner all the time. I feel like we just did this. Weren't we just here? The weeks are going by like days. I don't understand it. It's just so fast things are happening. We have to be wise with our time, but the anxiety does not need to be there because we understand we're created for something beyond this. There's a seed that's been planted. The seed is called an incorruptible seed. You know what that means? It can't be corrupted. Not to go all analytical and genius on you. Incorruptible means it can't be corrupted. It means the seed is true to who the seed is. That same recipe that was written in Jesus' body that he expressed on planet Earth when he breathed air and he ate food and he ate food even after he rose again from the dead. Could walk through a wall, but he could still eat food. Man, these realms that we understand in the natural, I mean, are just so minimal and so petty compared to where we're going. If we could just get excited about that place, we'd bring so many more people with us than just trying to see, I wonder if it's going to work again for another week. I wonder if this is the week when it'll stop working for me. This kingdom is not about it working for you, folks. It's about you working for the benefit of those that don't know him yet. That's what this is all about. That's what the whole thing has always been about. It's about the incorruptible seed growing on the inside of us, becoming the growing into the fullness and the measure of the stature of Christ like we just read last week. God's creativity is expressed through seeds. And if you don't have the patience or the faith, what, we just abandoned a bunch of seedlings? You know how long people have been doing that on this planet? Very few people follow through anymore. We've all suffered from promises made, whether it's been through marriage covenants, whether it's been through, oh, when this happens, I'm going to give you this. When I get this next job, I'm going to do this, and then it never happens. When this happens, I'm going to spend more time with you parents to kids. All these things that we try to, in our own best attempt to say something good, we say, but we don't follow through. God's not like that. When he says something, man, it's going to happen. The only way out of it is if you abandon your course and you jump off. Nobody can pluck you from his hand. That's what Jesus said. You could jump out. You can dive off anytime you want. It's called free will. This is a relationship with a living God. Not a bunch of rules and regulations and scriptures written down in a book someplace. It's a relationship with a personal man who came on a cross and who hung there with a different DNA that's now been planted in you by the Spirit. You realize all God's creativity? I mean, I was a biology major in SUNY New Paltz, and man, one thing that blew my mind was just genetics. He wrote everything, every form of life that's ever been written. It's all just a recipe, you know that, right? DNA. You've seen Jurassic Park? Everybody see Jurassic Park? Some of you saw Jurassic Park. You probably skipped over because it was scientific and you didn't even want to pay attention to that part. But for the geeks among us, we wanted to understand, how can they get mosquito blood that's a million years old and turn it? The DNA. The recipe is still the same. The DNA is in there. Guess how he did all that amazing stuff? Everything you see that's living, every plant, every animal, it all has cells and it's all contained. The recipe for every single one to look like it's going to look is in that DNA. Guess how many ingredients he used? Four. Only four. He's God. He can speak and stuff happens. Yeah, inside everything, you're only going to find four nucleotides in a DNA strand. The code for everything that you look like or don't look like is written by different arrangements of just four nucleotides. G-A-C-T. I could bore you with the names, but cytosine, guanine, adenine, and thymine. Right, Amber? Amber was a nurse. She had to study this stuff. Think about this for a minute. With just four little tiny molecules, every person you've ever seen, every animal you've ever seen, every acorn you've ever seen, they're all described to look exactly like they do by just different arrangements, different sequences of just four little tiny molecules. Everything. Your eyes, your vision, your brain, your development, everything that makes you you and not a dog or a cat. It's all because of the seed that you were given when you were born. That's all. And every seed reproduces after its own kind. And so if we've been born again, not of corruptible seed that mom and dad gave us, but we've been born again of an incorruptible seed, that's the seed of Christ. Amen. Guess who we're growing up into? Guess who we're looking more and more like every day? Guess what? If that's not happening, that's abnormal. It's not abnormal when you suddenly become generous, when you suddenly share faith and hope with someone that's hopeless. It's not suddenly generous when you pick up a hitchhiker. It's not suddenly unnormal or abnormal. You're actually now beginning to act normal to who you actually really are, to the true seed that you've been born again of, the one that's going to live and abide with him forever. That part of you, the more normal it gets, the more abnormal the world's going to say that you are. That's how you know you're on track. Yeah, that's how you know when your appetites are changing and you don't crave happy hour on Friday like you used to. You crave going out with a good friend and maybe going for a hike or a bike ride and just sitting at the end of it and just marveling over how amazing is this God. taking pictures of the wildlife, just posting it out there for other people to see. You begin to see a life that's outside of just what gratifies your flesh. You begin to see a life that includes other people that you had excluded, not realizing that you had judged them as abnormal because your normal, your frame of normal was based on who you used to be, not who you now are. All of a sudden, forgiveness can begin to flow. Acceptance can begin to flow because you realize, I'm becoming someone different every day I'm alive. This seed, an incorruptible seed, is growing inside of me. It's no longer just a grain that I received when I just prayed and said, God, I believe, accept me, and I'm taking you as my Savior. My sins are washed away. It's more than just a moment in time. It's an ongoing growth that's happening inside of you. And as it begins to grow, you grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And if people don't... people are going to notice. I don't understand when people say, oh, I've been saved 20 years. I don't have the fire. I don't have this or that. You have not invested personally in the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Life has gotten in the way. Somehow, the good, good God that He is has not been seen because life gets between you and seeing that. There's trees in the way. You know there's a view out there somewhere, but at some point, who wants to look at a tree? So you stop looking for the view. And you just say, well, you know, there's a bunch of trees in that direction. I'll just sit here and be happy with this. God's given us the authority to cut down some trees, folks. He's given us the authority to move the gates of hell out of our way. Not to just accept the boundaries that they've tried to place on our lives. Not just in the geographical sense, but in the geography of your heart. There's things that we just accept as normal. I'm just always going to have that. I'm always going to be like that. I was born like that. My parents gave me that trait. Guess what? There's a new seed that's alive in you. And if you'll cultivate that, if you'll begin to feed that, if you'll begin to realize it's not your seed. It's Him living in you. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. You're going to see your life change in a way that's going to be beautiful. Peace is going to come. Anxiety is going to leave. You know, suddenly you won't be like me, that person waiting for the horn to honk. You don't even have to look up anymore. You can actually just, you can just stay down there until you hear the horn honking and you just know it's green. You don't even have, especially if the sun's in your way, you don't even have to look to try to see it. Just wait for the horn to honk. They're looking. It's always the person behind you that's always making sure they're going to get where they're going. The person at the light's never in a hurry. Did you notice that? The person at the light's always delayed. The light turns green and they're sitting there. But the guys in the back, they're like, it's just leadership. It's just. I just wait, you know. I don't always do that. It happens, though. Jeez. The word of the Lord lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Moving right into 2 Peter says this. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In worship, I just, every time I'm there, I just feel like I taste a new flavor of just how amazing He is. Whether it's the persons that are singing it, the way the team comes together, whatever, I just feel like, man, this is the first time I've ever been here. I feel like this is brand new. This is uncharted territory. This is a moment in His presence that has never happened before. And there's this expectation that rises up in me. There's this spiritual vibration in my heart that just feels like, God, if we all got this at the same time, we're going to see such a transformation in our own personal lives. But this area is not going to be able to contain that. You know, we were burning some stuff up on the hill. Fire's tough to contain, especially when it's dry out. Fire's not easy to contain. You got to work. When that thing starts going, there's a little breeze behind it. You got to really go with a rake and a hose and whatever you got to do to make sure it stays where it's supposed to be. Right, Don? Don's been helping me up on the hill so much. We've been working so, having so much fun. I think we laugh more than we actually get done. Is that right? We get a lot done, though. We do. We my stomach's hurt, not from sit-ups, but from laughing, right? Hey, brotherly love, pure and sincere, love of the brethren. Desire the pure milk of the word. You know, desire is what you'll eventually follow. Think about it for a minute. If you desire something, you'll eventually find it. Or you'll die trying to find it. What you desire is ultimately, even if you know it's not right, even if you know I should be doing something else, if you desire whatever it is, you'll find a way to get there. Peter had an insight here. He said, desire the pure milk of the Word. You know what the incorruptible seed desires? The very Word that it was born from. Jesus, as a young man, only 13 or so, was in the temple. He had already devoured all the scrolls that he could. He had already internalized all of the written old covenant that was available at the time. He was in there teaching them, his kids asking them questions, the scribes and Pharisees, the ones that had spent their whole lives studying it. Why? He was the incorruptible seed manifest in human form. And he was the Word, and he desired the Word. The Word feeds on the Word. The more Word that's in you, the more you're going to grow for a hunger for that Word. The more that you're going to realize, I was born for this. I was made for this. This appetite is not abnormal. My friends think it's normal. People on the outside think I'm out of my mind. But you've tapped into something eternal. They can't offer you anything eternal. They can offer you temporary feel-good for a little while until it breaks you or until you're so sick you just don't even want to live anymore. That's all they can offer in the name of just be free and have a great time. Let me tell you something. The eternal part of you craves something else, but we're so distracted sometimes from the stuff of the natural that we can immediately get an effect from, we miss the seed that needs to be fed that's on the inside of us, and it comes through the pure milk of the Word. Because when you taste and you see that the Lord is gracious, you begin to realize there's a new appetite that's coming inside of me. There's a new desire that I want to follow. There's something about life now that's causing me to have different appetites, different things. I mean, you imagine if somebody, however many years ago it was when you were lost, told you, yeah, someday you're going to read the Bible and listen to that Christian music that's all about Jesus and all that stuff. Instead of cursing him, you're going to sing that stuff. You would have laughed in their face. You'd be like, yeah, that's for those whatever they are, hypocrites and everything else that we called people that were. But then you taste. And you realize, wait a minute, if we're truly going to have an open mind here, why shouldn't I taste this experience with Christ, this God that supposedly made me, that has a plan for my life? What if you, all of a sudden, what happens? You realize, man, I might have been believing a lie. There might be more to this craziness than I really thought all along because it didn't make sense to my gray matter inside my head. You begin to realize that as you begin to grow and you begin to feed in that place, there's a different appetite, there's a different maturity that begins to come, there's different tastes that begin to be desirable. You don't have to, if you have to force yourself to pray, let me just say this. Some people may disagree, I don't know, theologically, I'm not going to unpack the whole thing. If you don't have an appetite to be in the Lord's presence, that's a no-brainer. If you have to force yourself and prod yourself to make your prayer time, to find a place to worship, if you have to do all that stuff, you need to repent. You need to say, God, you're my dad. You're the best dad I could ever have. You birthed me again. You gave me this hope. I'm of your offspring. I'm Christian. I'm little Christ. I'm produced in his image. I carry his seed in me. I've confessed. I've believed. You are in me. Where's the appetite gone? And he'll show you. You want to see God speak to you so quick? You come before him and say, show me what has to be removed in my life so that I can have this appetite that I'm hearing about in your word. You think he won't speak to you? You will. You might not hear it in these things, but you're going to immediately know that has to change. That has to go. That collection has to go in the trash. That cabinet has to be emptied out. Whatever it is, it's different for every other person. That way of thinking, that music that I'm listening to, that has to change. And for you in that moment, that might be the most massive faith step. I remember when I felt like I had to give up country music. Sorry guys, some people. I remember that. You could have broke the knobs off my radio. It didn't matter. As long as it was on 107.3, I was good. That's all I needed, right? And I just realized the season of life that I was in for the... Now listen, that's not wrong. You can listen to country music. It's not. Don't judge your life with what God's showing me. That's another great thing that people do in the church. You take what I say and you think, well, that must apply to me. It doesn't have anything to do. God wants to speak to you about whatever it is. You might have perfect liberty for that, that's fine, but for what God had put in front of me, the course I needed to take needed to mean to get rid of half the stuff that they sing about. And if that's what God's asking you to give up, then, you know, you can't feed yourself with the emotions of everything that's being sung about. It's just, you know, makes sense, actually. But your appetites begin to change, your desires begin to change, because you realize you were created for something else. Athletes eat a different kind of food, right, Joseph? They have to. They have to eat a different kind of protein. They got to have a different level of energy. They got to eat at just the right time so that they can run at just the right time, so that they can re-energize at just the right time. It all has to, it's everything that goes into us, folks. This world's just got one recipe, and it's just junk food. It's fast food, and it's junk food because it's easy. You open a bag, and there you go. You crack a lid, and there you go. You pull through a drive-thru, and you drive out the other side, and there you go. Your stomach is full, but you're poisoning yourself. You don't even know it. You're toxifying yourself. The same thing happens in the spirit. If you're not craving the pure milk of the Word, go to the Lord. go on your own time, bring your Bible, bring what you need, bring a pencil and a piece of paper, and just sit down and say, God, this desire that you told me I need to have for the pure milk of this word that's going to change me and cause this seed to grow in me, I need it. Show me what it needs to change. He'll show you. I'm telling you right away, he'll show you. You know, I joked at the first service, and I think my dad can handle a double dose today. So he's going to get another dose. He loves it. Don't let him rub in his head fool you. He loves it. I used to think when we were in the, I don't know, was it the 80s? Probably in the 80s, late 80s. I used to think that he wore, you know those socks, the ones with the, they're like mid-calf, or even some of them were actually higher than that. I mean, some of them were almost up to the knee. And not only that, but they were the white ones when they had their stripes on them, and they weren't just like all blue or all red. It was like red, yellow, blue. He used to wear those. And my mom says that he still might have some in his drawer. We'll have to send my sister to weed out. But I thought he wore those to the beach just to embarrass us, because we teased him. We tried every way to get him to not wear them. But he'd show up wherever with that, and that's just what, that's what he wore. And it looked good to him. Confirmed him. It didn't look good to my mom. We got that. I'm glad we got that sorted out. She has good taste too. But, you know, when you get to a certain point in life, your maturity allows you to make decisions about just how you look, that you're okay. I mean, I've got brown shoes, a black belt. I got blue and red in my shirt. I don't know what that means, anything. Probably not. But, you know, black shoes and brown, you don't mix the two. I like the way it looks. If I had a brown belt, and it would look too intentional. It would be like, brown belt, brown shoes. Nah, it's too. I like to look appropriate, but I don't like, you know, once it becomes too rigid, because people have all this stuff. Well, you can't wear blue and a, you know, and blue jeans. So you put blue with in the middle. That's just bad. It's bad all around. But I mean, come on. When I look in the mirror, this looks good to me. And therefore, this is what I'll wear it. It's just maturing. As you get older, there's things you don't care as much what other people think about you. If you like your mid-calf socks and they're all different kinds of colors, and your kids walk 10 feet on either side because they don't want to be known that you're with them, you know, he's got big shoulders. He's confident in who he was. He's like, hey, I like the way this looks, and he went with it. How far back does that go, I wonder? I was just thinking of that. I wonder when they came out. Your mom wouldn't have put those on you. She did? Wow. I actually saw somebody I saw somebody on a bicycle like not very long ago with a pair. I wonder if they'll come back with the whole 80s thing. I won't wear them. I'll tell you that right now. I don't care what skinny jeans and those kind of socks, I won't, but we've got to get there in the spirit. We've got to get to the point where, you know what? People can think and say what they want. I'm going to celebrate the one that died for me. I'm going to celebrate the one that rose out of a grave for me. The one who sent his Holy Spirit to live in me, who inspires me to see something beyond what everybody else is broken and confused and depressed about. We can all see it. We can all look beyond what's in front of us. We can all do it. You can only do it by faith. When you walk by faith, you don't walk by sight. You don't walk by what you see. Faith functions at a different level than what you can see with your eyes. It walks at a level that knows that if he can make everything I see out of just four little nucleotides, all arranged in different ways, what can he do when sin is completely removed and there's a new heaven and a new earth? What can he do when there's no more sin and shame and sickness and every tear has been wiped away? What will our existence be? What will our place be? Y'all are welcome to think about whatever they're feeding you on the evening news or the latest best-selling novel that's coming out, and they're just getting so raunchy and so disgusting. I feel bad for people that still read the stuff that's keeps getting put out there. Because it takes our appetite away from what we're supposed to be hungry for. This book, this message of the gospel, by which we were all born again of an incorruptible seed, needs to be heard and needs to be witnessed by the people that are in our lives, whether at our jobs, whether in school, whether at the mall. I love fussy kids now in the supermarkets. I just take it upon myself. If I hear one, I always go and try to find them. Parents probably think I'm a little crazy because they always connect with me. I don't know what it is. You just make them laugh, do something. You can always do something. And a mom, you see the relief in a mom. I mean, not every single one, because sometimes you can tell, like, just don't stir that nest. that nest is about to blow up. And but just little things. Especially if they're right next to you in line. I mean, we can go outside of ourselves, is what I'm trying to say. We have received Christ. He lives in us. He has given us something to live for that many people don't have yet. And you see a mom look at you like, man, thank you so much. You always make, you know, I gotta make sure I got my ring fully exposed. You're not trying to pick up some single mom or whatever it is. You know, it's, you gotta be careful with this stuff. You can't be clueless. But I don't want to sound arrogant. The world needs us. Do you know that? Do you know that we're God's answer to this world that we're living in right now? I say it almost every week. But when you see yourself that way, you begin to act and to carry yourself a different way. Maybe someday I'll actually care enough to put black shoes with a black belt. I don't know what level I'll start caring about other people's opinions. But I just know that if I love people the way that God loved me, if I can show them that one-way love, that I don't need anything from you, I just wish that there's some way I can help your life be better. That's my desire. That's what I want, because that's what God wants for us all. Let's just stand together. Thank you, Jesus. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, it says this, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you." Christ is already in you, but some of us have an incorruptible seed that still hasn't germinated to the degree that it needs to be evidenced. And so we're just going to pray together. We're going to all agree for an appetite, for an increase.